We promise to be much more organized than the Calgary Comic Con. Oh, those poor Star Trek nerds. All I can say.
I saw that the whole cast of TNG was there.
Yep. So here's the, I'll make it quick. Listen to this ridiculous. If you are a Star Trek fan, you would riot. Their phasers must have been on kill. Okay, so the entire cast of Star Trek: The Next Generation, I think everyone
Look like
for the
it.
first time, for the first time, every single one of them, right? I'm sure they've been half of them and a quarter of them and blah blah blah, but everybody, right? So, huge hardcore Star Trek nerds from basically Western Canada converge here, right? Because it's like a whatever. I'm sure they stopped by Vulcan. Oh God, don't get me started. But anyways, $400 several months in advance so that you can get meet, greet, and pictures with every single one of them, okay? Which, okay, whatever, hardcore fan, good for you, once in a lifetime thing. Guess what happens? They're over capacity with people who just walk in, and the whatever, the fire guys, whatever, fire marshals say no more people are let in. People who came with their $400 passes were refused entry into the building. So they were,
Oh.
yes. Talk about rioting nerds right there. Like, that was just, I would riot. I'd be like, what the fuck? I bought these tickets 2 months ago for $400 and some guy walked in today, you know, just to walk around and look at the cosplay girls, and now I can't go in. Yes, very unorganized.
That happened at San Diego Comic-Con about 10 or 12 years ago with some big sci-fi thing like that. I don't know how Canadians are, but I know if that happened here in America, the lawsuits would be fucking flying 10 seconds after.
Then they're that happened on a Saturday, and they're like, "Oh, well, we'll honor your passes for Sunday." It's like, the entire cast is gone now. It was a one day thing. So yes, not good.
I may not be fair, and it may be for petty reasons, but I don't like Will Wheaton. I was really hoping to
That's
see the
kind
rest of the cast beat him with a baseball bat with baseball
of.
bats. Like
I
when I
bet.
clicked on the video link, it was just every one of them, like Counselor Troy just coming in with an elbow and it just beating him to a pulp with a bat.
I bet his lineups were the shortest. I have a feeling.
Will Wheaton's? No way. He is
Yeah,
the Uber nerd. He is the Mecca. He is the ice.
I am the exception. I used to follow him on Twitter and I quit because some of his views on a lot of subjects really did. It's just like, really, dude? Are you using your fucking brain for anything? You
He's
know, it wasn't so
yeah.
much that whether I agreed or disagreed, they just weren't well thought out. You know, so yeah,
He's
no.
popular, but I think it's a different, like the hardcore Star Trek fans that will be there. If it's like, hey, look, Pat, Captain Picard line up, Will Wheaton line up. Which one are they going to line up in?
Patrick Stewart, because
Yeah.
he's like a classically trained Shakespearean actor.
That's right.
I've seen other stuff
Engage.
with him where he's an actual really good actor, so
Oh, yeah.
I'd want to talk to him. Second on that list would be let's see. Boobs or
Herbert.
Riker, I can't decide.
Ha!
It's close.
I would try to cop a feel.
Yeah, it's close between Counselor Troy, I can't remember Deanna, whatever her name is, and Jonathan Frakes. They all look really old though.
Well,
Well,
yeah.
they are
They
old.
are old.
It just makes me feel old. Like Brent Spiner, Data's hair is all white. It's probably because he had to dye it like Reagan black for so many years. It just went white one day. Oh, God. Okay,
Anyways.
enough nerdity. I forgot that was in Calgary. Yeah,
Yeah,
Dave
yep.
Church.
Yeah, did he make
He
it?
posted a video of some dude from Battlestar Galactica asking Will Wheaton whether he felt stupid or not after he left the show. It was literally an actor from the Battlestar Galactica series.
He did. I'm sure for a decade he did when he was completely irrelevant, but.
Yeah, he pretty much has his own nerd following now. He did a keynote address at PAX about 4 or 5 years ago that was really, really cool. But a lot of the shit I've seen him say on Twitter just made me not care anymore. I'm sure he's a good dude, but it's just not my speed. time, once again, take two. Fuck you, internet. For WonderPod, episode 108, unofficially today brought to you by DayQuil and Red Bull. So, because I'm a little under the weather and really don't need internet issues on top of it, rat bastards. Joining me this week, as always, is John.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's John Kine, brought to you by Diet Dr. Pepper.
Also joining us this week, from the top of the crow's nest, apparently, is Glacinator.
Hello, everyone, and yes, that's right. I am on top of a frickin' building.
Wonderful. I just heard a seagull. And finally, after a long absence from this setup of the crew, he has returned after his hard work co-producing a baby. It is Pat Mann.
What is going on, people? Episode 108. Giving us some issues right now. But we can do it. Fingers crossed.
Now, we will do what we've been playing. Glacinator, let's start with you, since you're 12 stories up and probably going to get crapped on by a pigeon.
Well, I haven't really been playing much this week since it's the height of exam time. But I've had a few little hours to get some gaming time in. This past weekend, I played some Brawl Minus with some friends I had over in the dorm room. And we got pretty obsessed with doing Captain Falcon versus Ganondorf, which for those people that don't play Brawl, Captain Falcon and Ganondorf are basically the same person, except Ganondorf is super slow and super strong, but Captain Falcon is super weak but super fast. So it makes for an interesting sort of game flow. And being that it is Brawl Minus, that it's hacked to be even more crazy. It was a lot more intense. So your character's recoveries are like 5 times as strong than the original game. So you can literally jump off the stage by like 100 yards and somehow recover and get back on the stage. So half of the game you're playing, you're just jumping across stages, not even caring whether or not you're touching the ground or not. Other than that, I haven't really been playing that much, but I will get back to you guys soon about what I will be playing next week, and it will be fun. All right.
Is this your last week of finals?
Yes, after this I'm done. And I will be back on the good internet with Xbox Online and everything.
John, if you're still with us.
I am.
Apparently, Pat was having issues because he just dropped out of the call.
He did.
I hate the fucking internet. Anyways, what have you been playing this week, John? We'll go right to left and see how we do.
Yeah, I've been playing the Mass Effect 3 pretty continuously all week whenever I've had a chance to do so. It's I'm really enjoying it. It's sort of you know if I'm gonna bitch one little bit, I might say that it feels a little samey to Mass Effect 2. You know, just running around the galaxy and shooting up a spot in order to solve all your problems, but it's still great shit. So I'm currently trying to figure out who I'm going to have my torrid love affair with. My choices are Miranda from Mass Effect 2, who's reappeared and is hot and heavy, and Liara, who did the dirty dance with in Mass Effect 1. So, you know, however, the funniest thing is that the easiest person to sleep with would be Cortez, the dude down in the shuttle bay. he's telling me things like, "Wow, Shepard, it's really hard to say no to you." And I'm like, "Whoa, dude, I just came down to see what you're doing and buy some armor." So it's you know, that part of the game is always entertaining, and so I'm leaning toward Liara because I think it'd be pretty cool to I don't know how this game's going to end, whether you know there's any kind of long term plans for any of these characters or myself included, but. Yeah, I think going steady with the Shadow Broker could be pretty fun. The gameplay wise, the combat is pretty smooth. I'm enjoying the way each weapon, you know, it really feels different. Some of the upgrades that you get for the weapons overlap a bit, like you know the scopes and such. But even when you're you know, really tightly on an enemy and stuff. You know, the way that the rifle will bounce versus how steady, you know, another gun would be. You know, it's just really cool how they've. It's not that it's a new thing, but it feels really solid, really tight, and dare I say, realistic for a sci-fi game. But other, you know, the Mass Effect series is known for its great, you know, good story, great, incredible voice acting. All that's the same. It's still a little bit glitchy at times. Like some of the animations go a little bit funky, and there's still the odd texture pop in that, you know, kind of throws me off sometimes when you've got this background and then there's this, you know, a sheer flat surface and then suddenly boop, oh, it's now that was a rock. So with some crags and stuff in it. So it's a really good game. I'm it's hard for me to say how far I'm into it. I'm could be halfway-ish. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of the high priority missions. I'm spending what feels like a lot of time doing side missions because there's I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but if you don't finish side missions before you hit certain priority missions, then you can't go back and do them. So when you go, keep going back to the Citadel to pick up side missions. If you don't, I'm getting this feeling that after I hit some mission coming up, the Citadel is going to change, whether it's attacked or whether it's reconfigured. I have no idea what could happen, but I'm not going to be able to go back and do these missions. So because I've been looking up some stuff on the internet, the FAQs and stuff, just to get myself pushing through some of these admittedly a little bit boring side missions. Like you'll talk to a guy who wants evidence of that, or you know, find this book on this planet, and all it amounts to is going out to find a planet and scan it. So you're scanning planets for stuff rather than minerals, like you were in Mass Effect 2. But it's I can't wait to see where it goes. I'm dying to know what this ending is. I'm glad I haven't been spoiled. So next week I'll have hope. Maybe I don't know if I'll finish it by next week, but we'll see what happens. And that's really all I've been playing, other than a little bit of Rock Band, a little bit of. I'm on the second last set of puzzles of Pushmo. There was one in there that would really stop me. I don't know if anybody's been playing it. It's the level with the palm tree, which was kind of ironic because I was in Cuba when I was stuck on that bastard. So but I've got past it and I'm making my way through. I'm into the 4-star difficulties, which I'm thinking are the highest. I'm not sure if there'll be 5 stars in the last set or not, but that's still a great game too. So that's it.
Anyways, to hell with the other stuff. I'm going to talk about two things. Fable Heroes first on Xbox Live Arcade. You guys there? Did I get booted?
We're here.
Okay.
We're here, man. We're here.
Jesus
now
Christ.
I'm paranoid. Okay. All
it's
right.
Still going. Here, I'll tell you, like, every 20 seconds, you're still on. You're still
making
on.
Noise.
I know. I do the same things.
Stay on target.
Right.
Yeah. I only get one shot at the Death Star.
For $10. What am I talking about? Oh, yes. Fable Heroes. It is. It's not bad. It's not a bad game. I recommend you at least play the demo for it. I played the single-player demo, and it had some fun moments. It's okay. I mean, for those who don't know, it's a side-scrolling, beat-em-up, hack-and-slash adventure-type game. Kind of like, I'm going to say it, in the style of Castle Crashers. Maybe not quite as good, but in that style. Where up to 4 players can play co-op together. You can play at home. You can play online. It's got cel-shaded polygonal graphics that look pretty good. I guess some of the backgrounds are, I don't know, inspired from Fable games. I don't know. I guess it looks like it. It's not a true Fable game, if you haven't figured that out. It's a spin-off based on things called Hero Dolls that apparently you could collect in either the first Fable game or the second one. I have no idea, and who really cares? Anyways, the game screams for co-op. You know, I'm sure it's much better playing with a buddy than playing on your own. I thought the game was all right, But I think it would have been much better had I been able to actually play with one of my friends or whatever, you know, online. You know, I found some of the game to be kind of uninspired, a little generic, especially with the power-ups. I mean, here's one power-up, unoriginal one, where you get to go really fast for a while. And then here's another one, you grow big. Ooh. You know, I didn't like the growing big one or the giant one or whatever they call it, because apparently when you become a giant, you have to walk really, really fucking slowly, and it's annoying. But whatever. It's still a decent game. It's fun. If you like these types of games and you got two or three people to play with, I recommend you at least play the demo. You know, I sound negative. It's not a bad game. It's just, you know, comparing it to be, say, like I said, Castle Crashers. It's no Castle Crashers, people. I found the single player of Castle Crashers to be much more original, more fun, and really funny. So, I don't know. It's not bad. I guess I'll just leave it at saying, hey, what the heck. Give it a shot. If you like Castle Crashers, you'll probably like this game. Now, on to... Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still here.
Okay.
Sounding loud, clear, you're good. It's not okay. Castle yeah. Crashers. I'm to recap.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Stay on target. Now, let's talk about a really good game that I played. Unexpectedly good game. The Walking Dead, Episode 1. It's on Xbox Live Arcade also. And I know what you're all thinking. What a hypocrite this Patman is. It's pretty ironic, Mr. Patman, that you purchased another zombie game. I mean, come on. You've been making fun of the fact and getting pissed off and sick and tired of all the zombie content as of late. I've been making fun of it, and here I am. I buy another zombie game. Well, screw you, people. I can do what I want. It's a $5 game. That's right. Episode 1 is what? 400 points? I actually managed to get it for free with my whatever that is, rewards points or whatever the hell that is. Truth is, the game is really good. It doesn't matter about the zombies or what. It's only $5. It's a, I don't know, it's a must download for just about everyone. At least try the demo, although the demo's really short. It's a slower-paced game than most zombie games like the Nazi Zombies and Left 4 Dead. So, you know, that you got to take into consideration. As a matter of fact, you usually only engage one Walking Dead at a time, not hordes of them. And you're also trying your best not to make a lot of noise, so guns are really your last resort. So you're using objects and stealth, and so it makes it different. It makes it a bit slower, I have to admit, but it's still really good. The art style is pretty cool. Those of you who read the comics, graphic novels, you'll be at home here, I think. It's kind of like a comic book come to life. Carlos, one of our listeners and our super troll slash fan, he enjoyed it a lot. The mechanics of the game are a little different. They take some getting used to be honest. Best way to describe it, and I'm sure Bruce will talk about it too, it's a combination of an old school PC point-and-click adventure along with a more modern action-adventure game. You move around with one stick, I think is the right stick, and you move an interactive, context-sensitive cursor with the other. This cursor is basically your lifeline. I mean, you use it to find objects, to talk to people, examine things. You also use it in combat against the ugly infected type people. And it works quite well, but it does take some time to get used to. So if you're a hardcore zombie first-person shooter fan, you're going to find this a bit different. But for 400 points, I think it's $5, you can't go wrong unless you're one of these brain-dead 13-year-old Nazi zombie types. Maybe then you won't like it. But one really cool thing about the game is the actions and decisions that your character will make will have consequences later on in the game. If you get caught, I don't want to talk about them. I wish I could, but I know there's a lot of people, especially our own Audio Master G, who would kill us if we spoil this. So if you get caught and say a verbal lie, which I did, or if you save person A instead of person B from a zombie attack, one of them dies, whatever. If you back someone up in a verbal confrontation with a non-infected, all of these things are saved in the game, and they alter the game, even in episode one, to a small effect. I mean, in some effects, someone's dead and someone's alive. That's a pretty big change. So at least to some extent, the game is changed depending upon your decisions. So I think as the episodes will come out, more and more of your decisions will build up and build up, and it will affect the story in different ways. I guess if you played as a dick in one trial and as a super nice guy in the other, you know, it would be kind of cool. I'm going to keep things the way I'm playing for now. Maybe I'll try again, you know, after all the episodes are done and play as a douchebag. I don't know. But the game is well worth 400 points. The only thing I didn't really like about it was its length. Everyone's saying it's too short. Bruce will be better at this because I had to do it in 3 or 4 sittings because of my little dude. But I thought it was okay. It could have been a bit longer. But bottom line here, The Walking Dead is a cool game with unique controls and a story that will be affected by your in-game decisions. So it's $5, you know. Go buy it. Go buy it right now is my advice. And yes, I'm endorsing a zombie game. I'm a fucking hypocrite. And that, boys and girls, and zombies, is what Pac-Man has been playing.
And we got it all fucking recorded this time.
Oh, shit, thank God.
First off, we'll just roll right into what I've been playing, because I've only been playing 2 things, if you don't count trying to keep snot inside my head as a game. I was just like you. When I played the demo for about 2 minutes and fell in love with the comic book art style, and said, fuck it, and bought it. And I thought the same thing. I said, I am such a stinking hypocrite, because we make so much fun of zombie games. But to be a weasel about it, and I'm just totally going to be a weasel about this. It's not a zombie game. You know what I mean? It's not Left 4 Dead. It's not Nazi zombies. It's not I made a game with zombies in it. it's an action adventure game.
Yep.
I do have one question for you. And actually, hold on. Let me pause there for a second. I kind of feel sorry for Audio Master G. I don't know how plugged in he is to gaming news and stuff, but his plan of waiting until all 5 are on sale, I don't know how he's going to do that without getting some of it spoiled.
Yeah.
And as choice heavy as this game is, which I love totally, I just don't know. I think I'm going to buy it episode after episode. I have one question for you, Pat, and I'll see if I can ask it without spoiling it. Do you have one particular character that's still alive, a non-player character that's still alive at the end of episode 1 that you're hoping like hell you get to kill in episode 2?
Yes. I'm assuming
Heart guy. Let's just call it that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming you cannot kill this guy. He is, from the way I look at it, without giving much away, he's probably going to be your nemesis for most of the episode as a story point.
Yeah.
Hopefully, at some point, you'll have the choice to fucking kill the bastard. But, yeah, I wanted him dead, but no, I don't. He's going to be a pain in our character's ass. No matter what decisions you're making, he's going to be a pain in the butt, probably for a good 2 or 3 more episodes.
That's what I'm terrified of, because, like, I remember thinking, okay, you know the last choice you have to make?
Yeah.
And I bet $10 you went the same way I did.
The majority at the end that voted did the same thing?
My nerd dude. Anyway. that's not a spoiler. Kiss my ass.
I'll say a text why I saved her. But anyways, go on. Oops, take that part out.
It's probably the same reason I did too. That's going to go really wrong. Anyway, that choice, I remember making that choice and feeling bad about it. And then thinking, it's okay, Bruce. Because sooner or later, you're going to kill that mofo. You know that?
Yeah.
Like, really? And I like the way they worked that whole section. I think it was called Chapter 6 and 7 out. For me, the first couple were a little eh. You know, you had to make the other choice. At that one point, because if you look at it, folks, it was really 2 critical choices you had to make. And the first one I really was kind of meh about. Maybe that's just because I'm a jaded bastard, but the second one actually really affected me, and I like what they're doing with this. And to comment on the shortness or not shortness of the game, I've read a lot of the comic books online, or, you know, I've got digital copies of them. It's about the same length, and it leaves you in a cliffhanger every time. It's very much like how Kirkman wrote the books, to me. So, while, yes, if you compare it to another XBLA game or another downloadable title, yes, it's shorter. It's episodic. My thinking at this point is if it's all five episodes are the same length as, say, I don't know, I can't think of an arcade title, Trials Evolution or Burnout Crash or something like that. If I get the same amount of experience and time out of all five episodes combined, then I'm fine with the length. Did it feel a wee bit short? Yes, but I think that's more to do with we're so trained to expect X amount of time or X amount of experience anymore out of downloadable titles. To me, that I felt that it was about right. I like the old school point and click adventure feel. In fact, one of the reasons I backed off buying I Am Alive for full price is because it could have really used a context sensitive thing like Walking Dead has. Also, too, Pat was talking about in Facebook the bloody invisible walls. And I was kind of chuckling because that bothered me for like the first section of the game. And then my brain kind of just kicked into old school adventure games that I grew up with. And it didn't bother me anymore. It's annoying when you're, you know, going from something like Skyrim and KOA Reckoning where you pretty much just run all over the place to, hi there, I'm a mime. Shit, now I gotta kind of crawl down this wall to figure out where I need to go next. Overall, I endorse buying it for 400 points. I mean, you're going to buy it. Let's see. It's 400 times 5. I suck at math. So, yeah, you're going to be out, what, $20? Somewhere in that region.
$25.
Yeah, yep. For all five.
Yep. That's still not bad.
Oh, damn. I didn't think about that. She's also damn good with it. I'm replying to your text chat.
Yeah.
She's also damn Yeah, that was not my reasoning for saving her. Repopulating
I had another reason, too. Yes.
Repopulating the planet. that's my goal. Anyway, sorry. I should not have looked at the text.
So, do the choices you make in each episode make different things happen in each consecutive episode?
Don't know yet, but I've heard hints that that might be the case.
Okay.
There's, at the very least, there'll be characters in the story that no longer exist or do exist, depending on your decisions, for sure.
Oh, okay, that's the other.
I was just wondering.
By the way, have you been attacked by a goose yet?
It walked away.
Oh, okay.
So. I'm safe for now.
Until it comes back with its fry. I hate geese. Anyway, the other thing I liked, Pat, that you talked about on Facebook was the fact that it gave you those statistics of the choices.
Yeah.
I really thought that was a neat touch. Maybe it's something very little, but I kind of like that. the last choice that we're trying to talk around. It seemed that the people that have played the game were pretty much in unison on that choice. probably more for my reasoning than Pat's, but Pat's is probably the smarter reasoning, truth be told. The other thing I've been playing, besides The Walking Dead, which, as I said, I highly endorse, it's 400 points. Go pick it up. I think you're going to love it. The art's what drew me in. The fact that it looks very much like a comic book, and that they did a good job with making it look like a comic book without graphical tearing, without, you know, problems or issues. When Glacinator plays it, we'll see. He's the art student slash critic extraordinaire. So we'll see what he thinks, but I was really, as somebody who's not an artist, thought it was really awesome, so we'll see. I've also still been playing Trials Evolution. I've come to an uneasy truce with Trials Evolution. If Red Lynx ever decided to make motorcycles, I would not buy one from them because they have no concept of how they work, but at the same time, it's a video game. If anything, would really love to see somebody take what Red Lynx has done, go less gimmicks and more realistic physics and see how that would work, because there's so much in Trials Evolution I love, and I've learned to measure or monitor my play time, because it seems the more I go, the more frustrated it gets. It's like a, it's like shit rolling downhill. It just builds and builds and builds. So in small bites, because I personally have such issues with some of the level design and things of that nature, it it really just kind of, it's just really kind of one of those games where it's not the game's fault. Everybody, a lot of other people love it. I just really wish they'd done some more with this, that, and the other thing. Finally, I'm doing this thing in Minecraft I'm calling Minecraft City. I took a village and I'm building on it. And the reason you build on it is because then the Squidwards, as Glacinator has so wonderfully and correctly called them, the NPC villagers, start to make new NPC villagers. My goal in this, and I'm not sure if the game's going to allow it or if I'm going to be able to get away with it, is to see how many Squidwards I can get to populate this village. So far, it's working pretty well. My biggest problem has been I'm building too many big buildings and not enough little ones with just doors on them, which is what determines how many Squidwards are running around in your village. It's been a lot of fun. I'm hoping to be able to do some videos on it next week. I'm kind of basically taking everything I've learned from my multiplayer experiences and my single-player experiences and kind of mashed them all into this village. We'll see how it turns out. It's been fun, especially since I've been sick, not had a lot of energy. That's been, Minecraft's a game you can play pretty much brain dead, especially if you've played it as long as I have. So it's a lot. It's something you just pick up and put down. Didn't really get to any A on.
I was going to say real quick, Bruce, about villagers. I'm pretty sure that they're rendered in certain chunks. So once you leave that chunk, they'll stop rendering.
Meaning they'll stop spawning?
Yeah, they'll stop spawning.
So as long as I stay with...
As long as your houses are small, you can probably fit a lot of houses in there.
Well, that's been my issue. I've been building more grandiose stuff, but from what I read on the wiki, it's all dependent on the number of doors. Percentage of doors is how is what they base spawning on. And then, like, if you get... want to get iron golems that spawn naturally, that's based off percentage of villagers.
Yeah, it's like every 16 villagers, you get an iron golem or something.
Yeah, yeah, I just made one because I had the extra iron, so I just made one myself. But it's been kind of fun. I've actually got a couple worlds I need to get on video and just for no other reason, just for fun. So I kind of been doing that. We'll see what I get into next week. It's crazy to think that a cold would keep you from playing video games, but this sucker's just absolutely been hammering me, so this is the best I've felt in about 4 days, so, but definitely Walking Dead, and it's funny, Pat, because I actually forgot about it. I played it in, oh, by the way, I played it in two sittings. It probably took me about 5 hours to get through it, if that, and that was two, three sittings, but I was really also enjoying it, so I kind of was trying to get through it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I finished it in two. I'm pretty sure it was two sittings. There might have been one real short third one, but once that one certain character pissed me off, I was trying to get everything done to see if, you know, maybe I could make the choice to where he or it or whatever you want bought the.
Pretty sure we're going to be stuck with that character.
Yeah, that's what dawned on me 10 minutes after I finished it. God. What happens at the very, very end between your character and that one?
Yeah.
That's when oh, fuck me, I'm stuck with this bastard, aren't I?
Yeah, probably.
One final thing on that. They did a really good job, I thought, on capturing human emotion and human nature. You see just about every kind of personality type.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
There's quite a few, definitely differences in personality. Yeah, they've done a good job with it.
I'm impressed.
It's almost like a game of Survivor in a way, where you're making alliances and doing stuff and choosing stuff.
Yeah, well, the one character we've been talking about over and over again, populating the Earth aside, I think that one's going to be a pretty smart one to hang on to.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, and what sucks is, according to, I don't remember who found it, Audio Master G or Pat, gotta wait a month for the next episode. What the hell's wrong with you, Telltale?
Yeah, hopefully it's shorter than that.
I don't know. Anyways, that's what we've been playing. Discussion topic. Our discussion topic this week, more so than usual, is something that has kind of been bugging me personally for two facets. I shouldn't say bugging me. It's just more curiosity. The discussion topic, basically, in a nutshell, is difficulty. You know, you always hear on various social media, oh, I only play on hard, I only play on veteran, I only play blah, blah, blah. Eh, okay, fair enough. But that's not always necessarily the best choice in my mind. I'm noticing I tend to vary anymore. And so I thought I'd bring it up to the group tonight and see where these guys are at with choosing difficulty when they play video games. Pat, let's start with you and see how it goes. What difficulty setting do you normally go with on a regular basis, or as your default setting? Do you just go with normal? Do you pick something else? Does it depend on the genre type of game?
Yeah, it depends. If it's optional and you can choose, I normally just put it, let's say there's easy, medium, hard. Sometimes there's a heck of a lot more choices than that. But I'll usually go on medium because I want to play the game and enjoy it. And I want to see all the levels and I want to get to a boss and not be so frustrated that I can't play it, that I'm angry at the game. I don't want it to be a breeze. I don't want some games to leave out content or enemies. But so I think medium is the best for me. And I mean, I've been pretty much doing it the whole time. I remember playing one of the Call of Duties. I think it was Modern Warfare 2, on medium, and then going through most of the game on the hardest difficulty level afterwards. So I will upgrade to the highest difficulty level if I want to play a game a second time. I did that with Star Wars The Force Unleashed. I played it on basically medium, and then when I found out you got all your powers at the beginning of the game again from the end, I played it on the highest difficulty or whatever the higher one was, and I enjoyed it. So for me, I'm a medium guy. I want some challenge, but I don't want to be frustrated. I paid $60 for this game. I want to be able to at least have a chance of finishing it. If I can finish it and I still like the game, I'll put it on hard.
Yeah, it's funny with the Modern Warfare. In one, I got like 3/4 of the way past the sniping level, which was actually difficult on veteran. Not difficult. It was a pain in the goddamn ass. I got 3/4 of the way through that, and it wasn't so much frustration level as I just got swallowed up by other games after Modern Warfare 1. Modern Warfare 2 is when I realized that I don't need to play games on veteran to make myself feel better. I got to the section in Modern Warfare 2. You remember when they make him go back down the hill and Gaz is, or Ghost or whatever the fuck he was at the time is throwing a fit about they just fought their way up here. Now they got to fight their way back down to get to the helicopters. It's toward the end.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
That's when I realized this is spam enemies. It's just spam and spam and spam. Really? Do I really need an achievement that badly for my ego? Fuck this shit. And I shut it off and I went and got a new game. I mean, I've kind of given up. I did it with Force Unleashed. If it lets you have all your powers and buildups, if it's more of an RPG style game, I did it with Force Unleashed until I traded in the original Force Unleashed. And I actually had fun with that because it made it more of a challenge. Glacinator, let's go with you since you're the younger crowd. Haven't quite played as many video games as we have. Yeah, maybe. Actually, now that I think about it. What's your default setting? Do you go with medium or normal, or do you crank it up, or does it depend?
Well, I say along the show that I'm an old guy trapped in a young guy's body. But for this, though, I'm going to have to play the role of the snotty little kid. I guess you could say right now, I hate to sound like this, but I'm in my video game prime, whatever you want to call it. I feel like I'm pretty good. And so I will usually put my video games on either hard or the harder setting above that. I know when I got Halo 3, I started immediately on Legendary, and I played through on Legendary. I did the same thing when I got Reach. But if a game gets to the point where it gets annoying and I don't want to do anymore, then I'll stop and I'll put it back down a level. It's not that big of a deal to me to have to drop down a level. So for the most part, I'm on hard in most cases.
Oh, actually, playing on hard doesn't make you the snotty bastard. It's the part where you criticize other people for playing on anything else that makes you a prick.
you can play on whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're indifferent to what the rest of us want to do, and I'm totally fine with that. I should make that clear since Glacier brings it up. I don't care what difficulty you play it on, but don't give me a bunch of crap about the difficulty I'm playing it on. It doesn't matter. It's two different tastes. Mr. Kehoe, what about you? What do you think on all this?
I normally play on normal. I got no problem with playing on hard, and I'm kind of like Pat. I don't want to be, you know, just hammered right from the get-go. I like to be able to enjoy a game, but then again, just like he said, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to play a game and have no challenge at all. But that middle ground is something that's, you know, right. It's usually right where I want to be. What I do appreciate is when games actually give you some description about what each difficulty actually means. I like when it says this level is for people who have never played a first-person shooter before. Well, then I'll avoid that one if that's normal. If the next one up is where I want to be, it gives me at least a graded level of exactly what I'm going to expect to find when I go into them. I too did play Modern Warfare 1 on Veteran. I played it on regular first, and then I played it on Veteran and got through the whole thing. That sniper scene is a pain in the hole, but the reason why I played that on Veteran was I'll admit it was purely for the achievements. I'm a self-professed achievement whore, and I'm not as bad as I used to be. But at one point, I was considering, I'd pick up a game, look through the achievements, and I'd see that you get separate achievements for the same level if you played on hard or normal. You see that kind of thing in Gears of War. You see it in Modern Warfare games. At least in one. I'm not sure about the other ones. I haven't played those, but the achievement whore in me would say, well, if I played through it on Veteran right from the get-go or on hard, I could get both achievements and not have to play it through twice. Because I have the pile of shame, playing a game twice is something that hardly ever happens these days, just because I want to move on to the next thing and whittle things down. So I prefer normal, but I have played on Veteran just to get the achievements. But I don't know, it's me getting older or me just wanting to relax rather than being stressed out over, getting spammed by enemies. Normal is pretty typical what I go for and say screw it.
Hilariously, on Modern Warfare, the original, the sniper level,
mm-hmm.
I got through the sneak part and I got through the shot. First mm-hmm. try, no problems. It was the waiting for pickup.
At the carnival, yeah.
Ever.
Oh, that's brutal. It was brutal.
I finally found a teacup ride I could hide in that they could only shoot at me from straight ahead, and I could still cover the wounded sniper dude. I think it was a teacup ride. It was some kind of circular thing where I could keep an eye on him, but I wasn't getting drilled from four different sides.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if it's teacup or if it's bumper cars, yeah.
Yeah,
no. It was more. It had more cover than a bumper car because I was actually inside it. I don't know if it was a glitch or what, but I found a way inside it. But yeah, for me personally, I most of the time play things on normal. Here's where I've changed. I play RPGs on easy because I want to immerse myself in the story and the art. And don't give a fuck about your difficulty. I played Skyrim on normal, and then when it got a pain in my ass, I kind of moved it down a little bit. But I played KOA Reckoning on casual, which we'll get to in just a second, because I wanted to immerse myself in the world. Don't see no point in beating my brains out. As soon as I beat it and started doing DLC and stuff, I moved it back up to normal or just above normal. But RPGs I've kind of taken a different tact on. Does it mean my Woot Elite Gunsage approved card's probably gonna get yanked? Yeah, but I don't give a shit. I got really tired of not being able to actually stare at the art and worry about random encounters and shit jumping my ass because I'm like 20 feet away from it. So I just kind of started turning difficulty down on RPGs. Shooters played on normal. I played the Halo Reach on Legendary, but I think we're doing that on co-op more to make ourselves laugh at each other and drive forklifts into shit. It kind of all depends for me, too. I generally default on most games to normal, but RPGs have kind of changed. And I find the experience more satisfying. I pay more attention to the details of the game when I don't have to worry about being raped from behind by something, you know, that's 20 feet away from me. I know it's there, but I don't think I'll trigger it. Well, in a lot of RPGs these days, how you trigger mobs and stuff is dependent on the difficulty level. At least it seems to be. So I've kind of eased off more of a shooter RPG like Mass Effect. And kind of, like I said, it all kind of depends. Which brings me to my second point. I'm noticing the term casual, which was what it was in KOA Reckoning, more has replaced easy. John, we'll start with you. Is this done by developers to shame us core gamers, or is this actually done so that casual people don't piss themselves off by playing anything else? Seems a little silly to me when it's on an RPG that you're going to be playing for 80 hours. Not exactly a title a casual person's going to drop themselves into.
Yeah, I think it might also have to do with a bit of, the word easy might make someone think of that they're being lazy or they're in some kind of inferior connotation to the word, where casual just means just as you said, like you just want to enjoy, hang around, like if in Oblivion my wife could play Oblivion on casual, I'm sure she would, so she can pick flowers and eat mushrooms all day in that game. You know, it's it works fine for me, and it would really depend on the game. If it was a first-person shooter, I don't think casual would be a word that you would really want to describe. You know, killing everyone that you see. I think, casual, the connotation is that it's, you know, a relaxed pace, you know, your own pace, whatever you want it to be.
Interesting, I hadn't thought of that, because a lot of times they show on Xbox Live what level of difficulty you're playing at, and I'm convinced that's just like, you know, group shame therapy. Oh, look, you're playing Devil May Cry on easy. You're playing Resident Evil on easy. But your take's interesting. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. Pat, do you agree with John, or do you think they're trying to shame the living hell out of us?
I think it depends on the developer, and it depends on the game. I also noticed that, too. Why do they have to say on Xbox Live what difficulty you're playing it on?
Bastards.
Everybody calls you a pussy. As a matter of fact, I remember a certain Jonathan sending a message to us. Guilty as charged. We were playing.
Oh, that's right.
Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead 2 on easy.
Yeah, on easy or something like that. We got some trash talk for Mr. John Kind.
That's right. I've forgotten about that.
See? So I don't know. I think it's kind of, you might be right with that. When they originally did it, kind of as a jab at those that can't play it hard level or on hardcore. But as for changing the name to casual from easy, I think it's just a sign of the times. It's just a different name. I don't think it means a heck of a lot, but definitely I think we might be looking too much into it. I mean, it's just a name now, casual gamers, right? But definitely I don't like how it's on Xbox Live and people like the very mean Mr. John Kind sends us messages.
Gamer dicks like John Kine.
That's right.
Oh, I caught a little shit on Twitter for playing KOA Reckoning on casual. I told him I'm kicked back in a chair, board shorts on, beer in my hand. Fuck off. Because I don't care. If you want to give me, I had forgotten about John sending us a message. If you've ever played with Pat, shoot him in the back, man. You'd play on fucking easy too. Or better yet, Carlos, I'm a bloodhound. I'm gonna tree the zombies 14 miles away from wherever you're playing.
hide in a room while everybody else gets killed.
Trust me. As much as I don't care if you give me shit about playing something uneasy with Left 4 Dead, there's reasons. There's definitely reasons. Glacinator, what do you think? Since you play a lot of games on hard, do you think they're doing it to shame us, or what's your take?
I do think there is a distinction between casual games and easy games or playing on easy. When a gamer is playing on easy or is playing an easy game, they're still playing to win. But if you're a casual gamer, you're playing to play. So there's nothing wrong with either of them. It's just that playing on easy, you have an end goal, whereas a casual gamer doesn't really care whether or not what happens either way. And you can play casually in games that are meant where you're meant to win. We play casually in Halo all the time or whatever, or Left 4 Dead. We just shoot each other. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, so I just think that you have to just distinguish between the two.
That's a very excellent point. I just got text chat. Pat, you want to say bye to the folks while you're still here?
All righty. I gotta get going. I think I got some hardcore diaper cleaning or something to do. There's nothing casual. Nothing casual about that. I should get an achievement. One more thing. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this, it comes up tomorrow. May the 4th be with you. All right. Yes. Star Wars Day tomorrow.
Yeah,
anyways,
I think the fact that you just said in text chat you were hoping for a little more time. Yeah, no, it might have had something to do with it. It took us three fucking tries to get the show recording.
the dropped calls. Yep.
Yeah, so
yes.
Hopefully next time you'll get more show. We appreciate you being here as always.
All right, guys. Take it easy. See you all next time. Goodbye.
Here's Pat.
Bye.
See you, Pat. Left for poop. Damn it, Glacinator. Anyway, but you got a very good point, Glacier, because that's kind of what I'm doing with RPGs. I mean, there's certain Skyrim, if I recall correctly, I was playing on easy at first, and it was too bloody easy. So I kind of went, I think I'll kick this up a notch. KOA Reckoning was a little more the way the fighting system worked and how cheap some of the enemies could be about blocking shit and then just beating you unmercifully kind of made me knock it down to casual because I more wanted to enjoy the game. So you go. That's been our discussion topic as well as Left for Poop. And that one's not going out of my head anytime soon. Let's move on to Audio Master G. He has a question for us, as he always does. It's a good one this week. It's about buckets and lists. Take it away, Audio Master G.
1, 2, you hear the clock ticking, tick tock, you about to stop living, tick tock, I want you to remember me, tick tock, but the dead don't have no memory,
I'm coming!
Nobody hey, Audio Master G here, folks, and I'm back for another installment of me asking you questions for the Wonder Pod show. Are you excited? Will you be able to cross off another thing on your bucket list that you got the opportunity to answer questions sent by myself? No? Not that exciting, you say? Kind of run of the mill? Really? That's a horrible thing to say, guys. Okay, let's get down to business. This week's article comes from a website that at least one of our regulars should be very familiar with, SideQuesting.com. It's written by Dalibor Dimovsky, and it's called The Video Game Bucket List, Great Achievements in Gaming. Dalibor notes, and I quote, "The magic of video games isn't just to complete one and walk away. It's to do more than that, to experience the nuances that we dedicated gamers hang on to, things we need to do in video game culture to enjoy some of the things outside the main quests. And we'll document these things, try our hand at them ourselves." And that's what they're going to be doing over a side quest. A couple of examples he lists here are Find the Minus World in Super Mario Brothers and to attend E3 in person. So, what would you guys place on your own personal bucket list for video games, other than to complete your piles of shame, for example? What are some of the experiences you've been able to have or achievements gone unfulfilled? Have some fun with this question, because it opens the door to plenty of options and conversation. Audio Master G, out.
She be all up in the Jag, boy. I know that make you mad, boy, but don't make me beat your ass, boy, so don't.
Hey, Audio Master. Thanks for writing in the question. And yes, I am very familiar with SideQuesting. It's the other site that I periodically contribute a few articles and reviews to. So I take the chance to plug SideQuesting.com. It's a great site. Dali has got some great people on there writing articles about video games and other and all kinds of other stuff, TV, movies, the whole works. So yeah, check it out. So as for my bucket list, well, there's a couple of things that spring to mind in terms of what I want to accomplish as a gamer. One of which is that I want to play all of or every Zelda game that's ever come out. And the reason why some of those haven't been completed for me is because I didn't have a Game Boy Color, for example. So it's great that they have a Link's Awakening on the 3DS shop. So that's now in my queue for a Zelda game that take off the list. But I haven't played Oracle of Time or Oracle of Seasons. So those two are on the list, as well as I haven't finished Spirit Tracks as well. Everything else I think I've done, with the possible exception of Zelda. Oh, geez, how can I forget Majora's Mask? I've never finished Majora's Mask either. So I want to get all those done. If you check out Dali's article on SideQuesting with the bucket list, there's a couple there that apply to me as well. And in particular, the finishing the endless set list on Rock Band. So you know, everybody knows that I'm a huge Rock Band guy. I've never finished an endless set list, which is to play every song that's on the disc. Now, that's not all your DLC all at one time, but in one continuous session, play all, and usually there's about 70 to 85 songs on a disc, so play them all in a row, and you get this pretty nice achievement. Never done it, really want to do it. And, you know, those two pop out at me. How about you guys?
All right, well, I actually wrote down a list, and some of them are from the other website, but I'll just read them out here. Go to E3, tour Bungie and Valve, do the video game equivalent of Mecha, and go to Nintendo headquarters in Japan, beat Super Mario Brothers without using warp pipes, get the world high score in Pokemon Pinball, come in first place in a Super Smash Brothers tournament, reach general level in the Halo series, beat at least one stage in Mega Man 9, and high-five Miyamoto.
I'm with you on Mega Man 9. That shit is hard.
I don't think I've even beat one like mini boss in Mega Man 9.
I think I beat one. My friend Roger, he has beaten the game. You know, he has some of the things that he's done. Like he mentioned today, I was talking to him about it, and about Wii Punch Out. He beat Wii Punch Out using motion control the entire way through. I don't know how he did it, but that's something I wouldn't mind doing myself if I ever had the patience to do it.
He's got to be like almost like autistic Rain Man style if he beat Mega Man 9. I've never beat a fucking thing in that game. I've tried a bunch of times. It just pisses me off and I don't play it anymore.
I think it broke his spirit because he hasn't bought Mega Man 10.
Well, if you actually beat that game, I can see it breaking your spirit and a few other things mentally.
The game is ruthless.
Ruthless.
It put me in my place, for sure.
It's between it and the original Ninja Gaiden, I think, for two of the most ruthless
birds
games.
And priests throwing knives. What the... I got that on the freaking virtual console way back in 06 or 05 when the Wii came out. And I'm like, yeah, everyone talks about this game. I'm going to get this. No. Just bad time.
you've never beaten the original Ninja Gaiden?
No, there's this one stage where they had this priest and they had his knives and he's throwing it and there's a bird that's coming at the same time. Uh-huh. And you have to jump over them and then throw the shurikens at him. And no, it didn't happen.
My cousin and I tag-teamed it and beat it. I'm trying to recall if there was a Game Shark involved. I can't remember now. It seems like that we just would play it and play it and play it. But I did not. I have not beaten the original Ninja Gaiden by myself, and I have no intention of attempting it. You are the man, Glacinator, for even getting it on Virtual Console. As for me, Audio Master G, I don't have really any kind of bucket lists. I don't generally have bucket lists with my hobbies. The only thing I really want to say is I have been trying to make it to PAX Prime since not maybe the second or third year they were doing it. I'm not going to be able to go this year due to a lot of reasons. And I'm starting to wonder if I'm not getting a little too old at this point and be the creepy old guy at the show. So, you know, bucket list as far as beating games, doing this and that, I just never get that far ahead of myself. Really don't ever have a major plan or goals. I just try to have fun with it is really, you know, is really kind of my key with gaming as a hobby. Where, you know, it isn't my thing. I found the article very cool. John's talked about side questing a number of times. It's the side I read. But it's just never kind of been my thing to make an active list. I'm sure if I had enough time and sat down, you know, and I'm talking like 3 or 4 weeks, I might be able to come up with something. For me, it's just keeping my pile of shame from engulfing me, because there's been over the years games I did not finish or games I did not play because of that. And, you know, so trying to keep my pile of shame down or get it caught up as much as possible. Thankfully, with Steam and good old games, you know, you can actually now go back and buy a lot of those games that you didn't play, Virtual Console, things of that nature. We, you know, it just kind of all depends. Do you agree with that, John? Now, you know, the it makes the pile of shame worse, but you can kind of keep the bucket list at bay too, because, you know, we have things like Steam and good old games and games popping back up in various formats.
Yeah, I see some games popping up on Steam. I'm like, whoa! I would love to have done that thing in that game. You know, yeah, that damn pile of shame.
Glace, you same way? You know, it's kind of easier to knock off the bucket list achievements now that you have, or bucket list items now that we have all these digital formats that are bringing games back.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to keep track of what you have done and what you haven't done.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
it's like a grocery store list. You know, just like go through and check off stuff.
Yeah, honestly, Audio Master G, it makes me a weirdo, but with hobbies, I've always been this way. I try not to set any specific goals. For me, a hobby is something that if it starts feeling too much like work, I quit doing it. You know, so like gaming and fly fishing, those are the two I try and keep the purest. You know, that it's just all about having fun. Yes, you frustrate yourself at times when you're playing hard games or you're learning new techniques or you're not understanding the physics model of a motorcycle game. Yes, that's never going away because it still bothers the hell out of me. And I'm still loving the game. So there you have it, Audio Master G. We really appreciate the question. Look forward to hearing from you next week. Let's move on. This show is going to be huge by the time we're done. So let's see. Let's do this story. Joyride Turbo revealed for XBLA. Basically, it's Joyride Connect with controllers. The only thing bad about it, as far as I can see, is the fact that Sega is coming out with another All-Stars Racing, which I'll probably much like more likely to pick up than I am this. My question to you guys, both of you are Connect owners. Unfortunately, we couldn't keep Pat on the show long enough for this. Is this a good idea, and could you see it with other Kinect-only titles coming back as downloadable titles with, you know, controllers instead of Kinect? Glace, let's start with you.
Well, I think from the get-go, it should have been you can either use a controller or you can use Kinect. I mean, if you have the technology there to do both things, then why not implement it? I mean, you may have someone that could stand up and play or use their arms to play, and then have someone, a second player, playing with a controller if there's not enough room. So I think it just should have done this from the beginning.
John, how about you?
I think with this game, they should have just called it something else other than Joyride. I guess it's not really... Like, the whole point of Joyride Connect was to showcase how the new, you know, system worked, you know, how easy and simple, and you don't even need a controller. And now, you know, just because I guess it made enough money or rather than develop new, art style or graphics or have an original game, well, we'll just, put it inside this old one. It stinks of laziness to me, and kind of drives me a little bit batty. But that being said, I made a comment in the on the Facebook chat amongst ourselves that I thought that you didn't even need a connector to play Joyride, because I seem to recall there being a YouTube video floating around of that game where someone didn't even steer and they still ended up in third.
Yeah, I sent that video to Pat when he got it. He's just sitting there. He has like a camera recording him. He doesn't do anything. He gets in first place.
And he still ends up. Yeah. It was first place. Oh wow.
It was first place.
Huh. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much it all really means. Anyway,
I actually like this. Maybe not Joyride specific, but I like the idea of releasing them for Kinect, using them to promote Kinect, things like Gunstringer, some of the others. And the ones that are capable of having controllers or using controllers, then re-release them as an XBLA title, slightly cheaper, for those of us schmucks that haven't bought a Kinect yet. Is it a little bit of dirty pool? Is it a little bit lazy like John's talking about? Yes, but I don't really have a huge problem with this. To me, Kinect Joy or this Joyride Turbo, I don't care about it, because once I heard about this new Sega All-Star Racing, I'm like, yep, I'll be buying that again. I bought the first one, loved it. Pat convinced me to buy it so that we could play it, co-op and online and stuff, and I loved it. So the second one's a for sure buy for me.
Now, if I might add something, I'm thinking about what I just said and hearing you summarize. I feel a little bit hypocritical, because it was just a few weeks ago that I said I was game to buy Rock Band Blitz, which is Rock Band without the guitar controller. and that being a way to capitalize on money that can be made from all that DLC that they have out every week and stuff. And maybe I'm being a little hypocritical there, but that's a different style of game, at least, where this is the same racer. Does that make sense?
I'm not denying it's sleazy, but it's sleaze I can live with. Let's put it that way. I'm not denying that they're trying to harvest the market a second time for those people that don't have Kinect or don't want Kinect or think Kinect's a toy. They haven't really released any titles that, if you re-release them just using the controller, it's going to really draw in the hardcore, "Rawr, we don't like Kinect, don't want Kinect, Kinect sucks, it's not ever going to sell," kind of crowd. But I'm okay with it. This is something I can tolerate in a industry where you can't swing a dead cat without hitting something that's intolerable or you could get upset over. This kind of stuff I can live with. May not love it, but it doesn't mean they're going to get my money necessarily, but I kind of understand the reasoning behind it. And finally tonight, mostly because if the internet gives us one more issue, I'm tearing this computer apart, fucking down to the bare frame when this show's over. Random mumbling that is going in the show. We're going to talk about the Wii U and digital. The first part of this, John, our very own John here, found these late last week after we did the at last week's episode. The first part here was from Joystick, and it talks about that Nintendo releasing retail games on 3DS eShop, starting with new Super Mario Bros. 2. That's going to happen on August. Then later that week, a couple days later, we saw Wii U retail games will be sold digitally at launch. That story was out about the same time as the other one. Then later this week, we saw, or maybe I should say earlier this week, my brain's falling apart as we speak, or as I try to speak. Earlier this week, I saw a thing where Nintendo is actively pursuing third-party publishers for both hard disk and digital titles. Here's my take, gentlemen, and I'm going to let you guys really kind of handle it, because I know you've both been skeptical of the Wii U. At least it sounded like it. Here's my take. As someone who doesn't feel like they've been burned by Nintendo or has any expectations for the next console or feels like they have anything to live up to, I kind of feel a little more confident reading all of this different stuff about what Nintendo is trying to do with their online after their lack of online with the Wii, or less than tolerable online with the Wii. In my mind right now, I'm in the kind of mode of I will continue to observe and see what happens. If something good comes of all this with the Wii U, I'm not going to be fall over dead from shock, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Glace, let's start with you. What do you think now, or what do you think of all this news of Nintendo trying to forge ahead and at least catch up with Sony and Microsoft in the digital market space?
I mean, yeah, Nintendo is finally realizing that if you want to sell in this market now, you're going to have some sort of online presence, whether that be through download sales or through an online service or whatever. So I'm glad they're doing this. It's about time. Ironically, out of all the systems that I have, my Wii is the only one that I can get on the internet here. Ironically, because you wouldn't expect that, but because it has an Opera browser, I can bypass any proxies or any internet whatsoever and just get on the internet. So if they still have an Opera browser and they have this online service, then I could play like online Nintendo games in my room, and that would be awesome. So
because it has Opera, you can bypass all the crap that slows down your connection.
Yep. I've heard stories of people like watching porn in school as well with their Wiis.
I'm pretty sure if you know how to do it, what was I reading the other day on the Chrome forums? If you have the developer build a Chrome, you can do something similar like that with Opera. And that's one thing, as much as I've not used Opera a lot, I did give it credit for. You had a lot more flexibility to be able to do that. College students watching porn on the Wii. Yes, funny, but not surprising.
Oh, this was in high school.
Oh, high school students, even better. Yeah, chuckle-worthy, but not surprising. They found a way to do that. Enterprising people will do enterprising things. Porn on the Wii.
There's something to be said for simplicity.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, yes. But that's about where simplicity being good begins and ends with Nintendo's Wii console, though, unfortunately. John, what are your thoughts on this?
I just want to say welcome to 2012, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Because it's time for them to show... you know, show what they've got in mind for their online, and this is some, to me, you know, it's a relief. I have my Xbox, my PS3, but I'll always be a Nintendo fanboy, and I want them to do well. I want them to be keeping up. I want to be able to say I have a Nintendo system that's not, you know, behind the times, you know, or not current, or you know, being able to distribute these games digitally. I mean, that being said, I might never buy a downloadable game. I mean, not that I've ever taken real advantage of the on-demand stuff on the Xbox or PlayStation 3, but it's definitely a sign that they are getting their shit together and have some sort of strategy at least to where they want to be come the release of the Wii U. It's a big relief to me. One of the things, and I think it was the Wii U article, it was an interesting thing that they're going to sell redeemable download codes in stores as well. Rather than go to the store, pick up your hard copy disc, you can, I guess, bring home a card and, you know, just like an Xbox point card and scratch it off and get your game. But the implication is that the retailers will be able to have sales on their own sales on these downloadable games, so that as much as I complain about how the on-demand games are ridiculously overpriced and they never have sales, I don't have to wait for Nintendo to drop the price on the next, you know, Mario Galaxy 3, whatever it might be. You know, it'll be up to my EB Games or my Walmart. If they want to put it on sale, they can, and I can get it for a cheaper price. And that if it's to paraphrase Pat, if it's cheapy, if it's cheapy, it's for me.
Like I said, what I said in my opener is how I feel. I know there's still some speculation and concern about the hardware of the Wii U, but I like the direction that this is going. And I think Nintendo may have their shit bet together better this time. And you couple that with the rumors of blocking used games, you know, more non-video game crap cluttering up the next Xbox and the next Sony product. This next generation could get to be very, very interesting, which is fine by me because competition is good. And if one of the three stubs their toe and takes it in the rear end, well, that's business and that's competition. As we've stated on previous shows, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sony just because that seems to be their role in the world. But we'll keep you updated as we roll into E3 and past E3 on what Nintendo's doing. Because, like I said, I consider myself an observer for the most part with no vested stake in it. But I am rooting for Nintendo to do better the next generation with their consoles and so on. So there you have it. Let's do an outro and get the hell out of here before Skype decides to explode again. We have a Facebook. It's WonderPod Online, all one word. We have a podcast, which you are listening to. You can get that several ways. One way is iTunes. Another way is archive.org, usually linked on the Facebook page. The third way is at our website, which is wonderpodonline.com. There are posts there from John, from myself, from Glacinator. Not a lot lately. Gunsage and G, Audio Master G, have been keeping the ship afloat, which I really appreciate. We all really appreciate. We have Glacinator art there. We have all kinds of things. We have a YouTube channel. It's WonderPod Online. Imagine that. There's also the 36 Wii YouTube channel where you can find a lot of the videos. If none of that works for you, all of which, I should say, you can use to give us feedback, ask us questions. And if none of those work, we have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter @wonderpodonline. Or you can follow me on Twitter @ORIGIM. Or you can follow John.
At John. I thought I was muted, but I wasn't.
I forgot the goddamn Twitter, too, so anyway, go ahead.
You can follow me at John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
Until episode 109, or I destroy Skype from within, I am Bruce McGee, and I am out of here, people. See ya. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
You muted again, John, or are you not saying goodbye this week?
Oh, cheers. I did, but it was over you.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
We were all waiting with bated breath.